morning and welcome to the Sunday school. We are now on lesson 5, a chastisement revival. Okay? I have wrote everything. I probably won't be looking at the book. I wrote what I could and I try to memorize it. I am having a hard time with my right eye. It told me that it's bad, and so, but it's repairable. It's just going to take longer. So thank you for your prayers. I am going to try. It's looking at reading with my head tilted. I think I do a good job. So if you see me going like this, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that you give us to be here in your house today. It's a pleasure coming, Lord, knowing that we were out in the world and we're not of the world, Lord, but we have to live in this world and live in an environment that's not very friendly and that's not very godly. And there's a lot of pride and crimes and but Father, you take care of us, so every day we walk trusting in you, Father. And now that the end of the week has come, and we come to your house the first day of the week to praise you, Lord, that you might prepare us for what's coming up ahead. But Father, we pray that you open our minds, our hearts, so that we can listen to what you have for us this morning. From the book of Jonah. Father, help us to understand that it's a lesson taught to us that what happened to him can happen to us. Maybe we're not going to be swallowed by a fish, but yes, we can get into trouble. And there is a solution, and that solution is always you. So, Father, be with us this morning, and we'll give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. We thank you. Amen. So we're now on chapter 1, Jonah 1, 11 through 16. And this book is speaking of the captain and the crew and what's about to happen to them, okay? But so let's go ahead and read. And it says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous, and he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea." Okay? Notice Jonah here, he kind of being a chicken. Not only did he cause the problem, but now, why didn't Jonah just jump overboard and get it over with? But no, he says, go ahead, and he's still trying to ride that way. If he meets the Lord, he said, well, they threw me overboard, and he knew he was wrong, okay? "So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great storm is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, Lord, we beseech thee, Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lie not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, has done as it pleases thee. So they took up Jonah." They picked him up, okay? And they even though they were angry with him, they knew that killing a person, that's what they were going to do. Even the unbelievers, they have a conscience to kill a person that they know it's wrong. So they finally, after they couldn't do nothing, the last resort, they pick him up. And with a broken heart, cast him into the sea. And maybe some of them were saying, throw him as far away from us because he's a problem. But it says, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. It's amazing. You have a group of pagan people. Pagan people are people that weren't Jews, that worshipped other gods. And it's amazing. Daryl was talking to me about this, and so I looked more into it. And it's amazing that all the crew from the ship and the captain were idol worshippers. And we saw that when they were praying to their gods. Okay? And so, let's go back before they head out to sea. Okay, this is telling they're already in a mess, but let's see how the day started for them. Okay, now these people, the Phoenicians, people around Joppa, were idol worshippers. Okay, and so before they left, can you imagine? Now, when they would go to sea, okay, Spain or Tarshish was about 2,500 miles from Joppa, okay? So the ship, when they would take off, the ship would probably travel about maybe 25 miles a day. They would go about 25. So if you times that, times 30, and then it would take them about 3.5 months to get there, okay? So just like a deadliest catch, they don't do it every time. They do it during the summertime and all that so that in the wintertime they're home and they make pretty good money. So the crew and the captain of the boat, they're getting ready to go, and they're having a dinner with their families or whatever it's going to be. And they're talking, oh, my goodness, when we go over there, we're going to make so much money. And, honey, when I come back, I'm going to buy you those shoes that match those earrings. And I'm going to buy, and son, I'm going to buy you that electric guitar and those Nintendo games back then, whatever it was back then. And they were all excited. They had enough money to make it, but then their bank account was running down. And so they had to go out, and they knew that it was a long trip. Imagine 3.5 months out there. By the time they got over there and unloaded everything, and it was going to be another 2 months around there. And then they would, again, buy and bring stuff from over there, import, and come and sell them where they were at. So they probably did this trip once a year, but that trip would make them more than enough money for the winter. They would try to come back home before winter hit, and so they take off and say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and there's nothing wrong with planning. You and I, what do you have for this week plan? And so you start planning in your mind. You start saying, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. The ship crew was saying, we're going to do this, and we bore. And they were experts of the sea. Mariner, it's like a sailor, but that's what they would do. That's what they did for a living. And so now they're getting ready. Their families is bidding them farewell. And when Daryl was saying about how they would worship the sea, their idols were nothing but sea creatures. And for example, how many of you have seen the Little Mermaid and then that king fish with had a crown and big beard and long hair and had a pitchfork. And they probably had, they worshipped that. Okay, to them that was a god. And they probably had it in front of the ship. Big old, going like this. And they would worship mermaids. Okay, they would worship octopus. And to them, a turtle, a sea turtle, was like a rabbit's foot, a good luck charm. And you know what? They would worship all kinds of sea creatures. Those were their gods. So when they would take off, they would get that little mermaid and take care of us. They'd get that turtle. Oh, honey, make sure you're well prepared. Oh, yeah. And they would kiss that little turtle around their neck. All those were their gods. And you know what? They worshiped their gods, and they were sincere in serving their gods. But they were sincerely wrong. Okay? People, you see a lot of religions with their idols. I remember my wife when I don't know what I was. I was nothing. I just didn't believe in God because I knew that there was a God, but that God that I knew of was way, way over there. My wife was a real Catholic. And for some reason, she would carry a little idol, St. Jude. And we had a little Fort Maverick, and she would put it right there in the middle, that little idol. And so I wasn't a Christian. And so when I would get in the car on Saturday and I told her, I'll be back. I'm going to get some stuff from the store. And do you need anything? No, I'm fine. And so we lived in a little town. So I said, I'll be back. The store just a few blocks. And so I get up in the morning on Saturday and open my can of beer. That's the first thing I would do. And when I was going to drink it and that little saint was looking at me, I'm sorry, St. Jude, you can't look at me. So I turn him around. It's just a rock, but this is how I thought that little guy. I mean, I can't disrespect him. So I would turn him around. And I even put him on the front of the dashboard here so you could be looking around to see where I'm going. And so, but see, people believe in that. And they believed in their idols. And so now they take off. And the way they would do it is they would have their sails rolled up, okay? Why? Because if they had them up, when they take off, the wind would blow them right back. So they had them rolled up, and they would row out to sea. The waves would, and they weren't too bad. They were expert. They knew exactly when to take off. At night, they probably would stop and cast the anchor to the sea and wait it out, and then they'd take off again. But they take off, they're rowing their boats, and when they're about 50 feet into the ocean, then they let the sails down, and they put their oars to the... They had them in a way where they're rowing, and then they would just lock them in place and keep them there, okay? And so now the ship is starting to sail. Woo! Remember, oh, and they're talking there, and they're looking. I can imagine the sky clear and blue, and the wind is blowing because every time you go to the ocean, the wind is always blowing there. And it's heading. They're heading the right way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You and I plan, but sometimes things don't work out the way we plan. Look at what it says. And let's go to James 4:13 and 16. I'm telling the story of this mariners. Hopefully I can finish. If not, we are going to finish this next week. But it says in James 4:13 and 16. Because they're all prideful. And they were very prideful men. And they said, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. That's what they were doing, boasting of what they were going to do and trusting in themselves and in strength and their gods. All such rejoicing is evil. Okay? When you make plan, it's all right to plan, but if you don't put the Lord first, say, Lord, next week I plan on doing this, I plan on doing that, but Lord, if you will, I'll do it. You don't tell the Lord, this is what I want to do, Lord. No, you plan ahead. You always plan, okay? And then you take it. Sometimes it works right. Sometimes you'll find out that everything you planned, everything that you said you were going to do, everything went the wrong way. And sometimes the Lord does it to teach us or to show us growth in our lives. Okay, we might understand or we might not, but he has a plan in our lives. So now, the mariners are now about 150 miles into the ocean. Everything's going good. And Jonah, see this again, this is a cargo ship. It's not a passenger ship. And Jonah just figured, hey, how much would you charge me? Jonah didn't know anything about Tarshish. He just said, I'm running from the Lord. I'm already in the ocean, and I'm going to get as far as I can. And just like David, when David was in the wrong place at the wrong time, Jonah was doing the same, going with people that didn't know the Lord, going to a place that he had no idea where he was going as long as he was away from the Lord. That's what happens when you and I, as Christians, try to run away from the Lord. I remember a person, it's so sad. We would have lunch after church, and all of a sudden he started drifting away from the Lord. We would go visit him. What's going on? You know where he started going? To the bar. And he told me, you know why I go to the bar? Because you're not going to see Christians in the bar. So he would go to places where Christians weren't around. That, sadly, the devil wrapped him around. You know what he did? Finally committed suicide. He ran away from the Lord, and it's so sad. Sometimes we need to be careful in our walk with the Lord. But these men did not know the Lord, okay? And so they're making plans, and they're trusting in their strength. They're trusting in their gods. And they were macho type. This, we are men of the sea. And they were very rough men. The men of the sea were kind of rough, and I can just imagine their language, how they would speak. And so now they're in there. The storm all of a sudden starts. And Jonah, see, is down in the bottom of the deck. And so the storm starts. And what do? They start praying to their sea gods. Okay, their mermaids, their turtles. And go, and they would put it up like Pharaoh, and nothing would happen. So when that doesn't work, okay, that they were carrying was their living. They were their fortune, okay? With that they had, they were going to sell, bring back money. But now they're in a storm. And they didn't go down looking for Jonah. They went down because they had furniture, okay? Nice furniture from the imports to the other. And then they had flour, barley, sugar, produce. They had clothes. They had paintings and all that. And they were going to make a fortune, okay? And so with that, all of a sudden they go down, not looking for Jonah, but they're trying to say, you know what? It's too rough. We need to get the weight off the ship because we're going to sink. And so they big old man, they're throwing the furniture out, and as they're throwing it on a corner, they see Jonah. What are you doing sleeping, you old sleeper? They get mad at him. Get up! And Jonah gets up, and oh, what's going on? Didn't even know what's going on. but he was running from the Lord and all the problem. He knew that the Lord had caused that because of him. But sometimes when we sin, we take others, we involve others, and sometimes we don't care. Even though we know that they're going to hurt because of us, all they're thinking is about themselves. Sin does that, okay? And so the mariners, they're trying to throw their goods, okay? They pray to their gods, and it didn't work. They cast out their livings, the furniture, pottery, wheat, flour, corn, barley, clothes, paintings. So sorry. So then they cast lots, okay? Then they said, what? They knew that something was wrong. I said, one of whoever God you have, if, and they started throwing again, they started throwing those little dice, but there was rocks. One of them was black. They were the same size. Whoever gets that black rock is the problem, and their God is the one causing this storm. And so when it falls on Jonah, and he tells them, they know that their God is the one causing this storm. So now they tell him, the mariners or the crew, in anger, asked Jonah, why have you done this? And what shall we do to calm the storm? You're the problem. Okay? You are the problem. And he says, and now the ship is now, they threw everything out. Okay? They threw everything out, but now the ship is still rocking back and forth, up and down, and about to break. Have you ever seen a pack of wolves attack a deer or whatever? And they're vicious, tearing on it. Those waves are hitting that boat, and then the boats were starting to come out, fall apart. And so they tell him, okay, you are the problem, and you are serving, because he told them, I serve the living God, the God that made this ocean that you're in. And he said, the land said, I am the cause. And they're looking at, they had never run into something. They were experts. They had been to other, storms, but nothing like this. They had never run into this storm. And they're starting to see our gods are no gods. And if his God is the one that caused it, this God, what can we do to alleviate the problem? And Jonah says, well, just pick me up, throw me overboard, and the problem will get solved. Okay? And so when they finally, if you see them, they have a conscience. We can't kill you, especially you're telling us that you're a child of God. We're not going to kill a child of God. So it's either your life or it's my life. What do you want? You want your lives and your families to lose, all of you? Or are you going to cast me out? Maybe Jonah was afraid of jumping, so I need a little help. I need a little push. And so they got him and they threw him off the ship. And this is what caught the attention of the mariners. That God that Jonah serves is God. And when they throw them, immediately, as soon as he touched the water, the waves are going up and down. The wind is blowing. It's raining. And all of a sudden, the waves and it starts calming down. And there was a few waves, but the rain stopped immediately. Those purple clouds started moving and the sun comes out. And they knew that they would have died. And they cried to their gods that were no gods. And they realized, you know what, we're fortunate. We were saying, Lord, forgive us. We were planning our trips without involving you, the God of gods. We're sorry, God. And we realized that that man's God is God Almighty. And you know what happened? They turned their lives to Christ. They accepted the Lord. It says, and they made vows. They repented. They said, Lord, and they threw their gods. It doesn't say there, but they threw their gods, their stones, and said, we, from now on, they said, we repent, and we will serve you from now on. Okay? Then, so when they tried everything to bring the ship to land, but when they saw that their efforts are useless, they throw Jonah overboard. And like I was saying, the storm stopped and called on the name of the Lord, not of their idols. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is what happened to them. That's why it's a chastisement revival. It came to life. Okay. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Look what it says. Now, I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. They were sorry and all that, but you know what? We're sorry, Lord, for not worshiping you, for being ignorant. They probably had heard the word of God, but they were. But now they're repenting, and their repenting was for their own good. It was a personal salvation right there. And so now, look at what it says on 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They were a new creature. They accepted the Lord. They realized that they would have died and they were going the wrong way, but they accepted the Lord. And look what John 10:16 says. John, hopefully I can finish. John 10:16. See, they were pagan people. They weren't God's people. Were you and I God's people before we got saved? No. So we can't say we are Christians, we are, God loves us because. No. God loves us all the same. And look what happens here on John 10:16. Jesus speaking, he says, and other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Were the men of Jonah's time of the fold of God? No, they weren't. Okay? Said, and other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The God of Jonah became their God. Okay? And you see the Holy Spirit, you see God right there. You see Jesus Christ right there as their Savior. And you see the Holy Spirit as their Comforter. Just like you and I. That's a picture of the Trinity right there. And they surrendered their lives. And the Bible doesn't say, but what was the purpose of them continuing on to Tarshish without no note? So you know what they did? Even though the Bible does not say, common sense will tell us, they turned the ship around, went home. When they got home, their wives saw a different husband. Their children saw a different dad. They were so excited, they started witnessing to them. I don't know how many of their families got saved because of them. And instead of their wives worrying about, instead of their wives saying, "Where are my earrings? Where are my golden shoes? Or where's my Nintendo?" You know what? They were so excited that they didn't care about nothing material, but they saw their dads a different men, and they worshiped the Lord. This is what happened, a chastisement revival. This is what happens when a person turns their life to Christ. Things start to change for the better. Now, next week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue, but if there's some of you that would like to take this book for till I get my surgery done, I'm having a hard time. It's giving me a lot of headaches that throw me off. Doctor told me to not use my phone a lot and not to drive at night at all. And so I need to be very careful. If there's some of you, and again, pastor needs help. It helps him when you and I, and all you have to do, take this book, pray to God. When pastor told me to take over, I was scared. I smiled at him, looked at him, and said, I said yes, but my heart was saying no. And I was scared, but you know what? The Lord led me, and I thank God that he gave me that opportunity. And it's only going to be till I get back on my feet. But if there's some of you that would like to take this book, the materials here, and talk to pastor and say, "Pastor, I'm willing to do that. I know that there's a lot of intelligent people here. So if the Lord moves," I'm not trying to force you, but it would help pastor to take over. But next week, whether I do it or whoever does it, we will now be going into section 2. It's talking about a second chance, and we'll be on lesson 6. And it says, the plan of Jehovah. Isn't it amazing that when everything, the mariners went home and Jonah gets sucked by a fish, it says, and the Lord, this is God's plan, and the Lord prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And this is where it's going to be now. Jonah is in trouble, but he starts seeking the Lord after a good spanking. And so that's where we'll take it. It'll be lesson 6, the plan of Jehovah. And so let's go ahead and pray. Thank you for being here this morning. May the Lord have a work in your lives, in your mind, in your heart, and may this lesson have taught us a good lesson. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Help us with a humble heart, with a humble spirit. Prepare our minds and souls to worship you, Lord, to thank you for everything that you've done, whether things went rough in our lives, whether the plans that we have didn't work, whether they did. But Father, may we always say, if you permit us, we'll do this or we'll do that, because after anything else would be boasting, Lord. And so, Father, forgive us, help us when we ourselves do that. We're planning without your permission. You want us to plan, but at the same time, you want us to ask permission from you. So, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Be with Pastor Michelle, my wife, that will be bringing the Sunday school class. And be with those in the nursery, with all that have a part here at Harvest Baptist, and prepare the heart and the message that you have already put in our pastor. May we be attentive and be doers and not just hearers. And Father, thank you for everything. Be with those that are on their way, those that are traveling, those that are not doing too good. Be with all of us, Lord. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.